This week we continue to hear some challenging teaching from Jesus and also from our other readings today as well. Jesus tells us that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we have to have our righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. Those who would have been experts in the law, and everyone would have anticipated having the highest level of righteousness of those around. From Paul today, we hear about this possibility of being unspiritual, unable to recognize what God is doing and what God is up to in the world, relying only on our human spirit that can discern the stuff of our own mind, similar to what we've heard in other weeks about not being able to rely on our own wisdom and reason. And of course, in our reading from Isaiah today, we hear about folks who are unable to recognize what it would mean to truly serve God. They are doing the best that they can, and yet they're being told that they are falling short. This is the challenge Isaiah shares with the people as they are returning from exile. He holds in tension these two notions that there is a difference between serving God and doing what we think we should do to serve God. For we hear that the people are seeking after God, are delighting to know in God's ways, are wanting God to show up on their side to bring about God's justice and righteousness. And that in seeking this, they are fasting and praying and putting on sackcloth and ashes, humbling themselves before God. All of this sounds good. This is what people would have thought to have done. It would be like, yes, we went and we prayed and we did Bible study. We went to Sunday worship and we did all the stuff that we were supposed to do so that God could hear us and we could draw near to God ourselves. And yet Isaiah is told today to shout out and not hold back that the people are still falling short, that they are not doing what God would want them to do. We hear what that is. That as they fast, they serve their own interests. They fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with the wicked fist. They are not attending to the people around them. They are not feeding the hungry. They are not clothing the naked. They are not bringing the homeless into their homes. They are hiding themselves from their kin. In short, they are retreating from community interaction. And this is something God is concerned with. God says it's just as important to me that you would care for your neighbors as it is that you would do these acts of purity and piety that would seek to draw me into your presence. So we might think, okay, people, then we just need to shift our attention and our focus. We should then seek to care for our neighbor and tend to the needs of society and not hide ourselves from our kin. Indeed, Isaiah says, once you do this, God's light will shine out about you. God will be near to you. God will actually do all the stuff you're wanting God to do now once you do these things. But the challenge, and this goes back to what we heard last week, is that we would fall short on this front as well. That we don't know how to tend to the needs of our neighbors as well as we should. We don't know what it means to bring about justice and righteousness in the world. And if we shifted our attention fully to our neighbor, we would probably discover that we were then falling short on the other front. That just as the people are throwing all of their attention and focus at seeking to find God through fasting and praying and these other actions, and then realize they had fallen short on tending to their neighbor, so too if we focus on tending to our neighbor, well, we fall short on serving God. And we probably won't accomplish tending to our neighbor either. This is the challenge we have before us. We cannot rely on ourselves. Which is also what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth today as well, that there is the possibility of being unspiritual. That we will not be able to recognize the stuff of God. Which of course would be those who would hear Isaiah's message in our first reading and say, nope, that's all nothing we have to pay attention to. Clearly, we're still doing the stuff that God would ask. We have it right here in the book. We don't need to listen to what Isaiah the prophet is saying. It would require God's spirit to say, what Isaiah is sharing with us doesn't make sense, but it is coming from God, and we should pay it heed. And this is what Paul is saying as well to the folks in Corinth. If you are going to understand God's perspective, you're going to have God's Spirit at work within you. For without God's Spirit, you're going to miss it entirely. You're not going to recognize that God is the one speaking. You're not going to take steps to try to follow what God would say. Once more, Paul returns to the cross to give an example of this. He's like, look at what happened at the cross. Religious and human leaders within Jerusalem demanded Jesus' death by putting him on the cross. Why did they do this? Well, because they did not understand what they were doing. They did not have the Spirit of God within them to help them recognize the truth that who was standing before them was God's own Son sent to save them. And instead, they listened to human spirit, human reason, and discerned erroneously false things. The religious leaders looked at Jesus and saw a blasphemer and a false teacher. The civic authority likely saw in Jesus a threat to the political stability of the region. And so, therefore, they put to death God's own Son because they could not see the truth. Of course, this is our challenge too. We are not operating in accordance with God's Spirit. We are missing God's presence in our midst. We are missing what God would say to us. And this will lead us down poor paths where we will not live, act, think, and be the way that we should be. I think this is what Jesus is trying to highlight to us in our gospel reading as well, as we hear that indictment against the scribes and the Pharisees. These are the ones who are following the law to the best of our ability and to the way that it would seem to make sense to other humans. They would have said, Jesus, these are our best ones. And yet Jesus is saying, our righteousness must exceed theirs in order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. And even more surprising, Jesus says, people can break the least of the commandments and teach others to do the same and still be in the kingdom of heaven. They'll be least, but they'll be in it. Which means that the scribes and the Pharisees are not just breaking minor stuff here and there and teaching us to do the same, but they're at least medium or to major errors in the law. Which I think is highlighting the same notion that they're following the law, but according to human standards in ways that make sense to them, but not spiritually discerned, not in a way that has us listening to God. And all this indicates to us that we cannot approach God on our own. It's the same message we've heard multiple times throughout, that without God's Spirit at work in us and through us, we are going to fall short in our thinking, in our acting, in our speaking. There is good news today. That good news is that though our actions fall short of God, God still takes action on our behalf. This is the good news that Paul is sharing with the church in Corinth, that God has sent God's Spirit among them so that they do have the Spirit of God to help them understand who God is, what God is up to, and how they are to respond. Paul says that Spirit was present in my very message that I proclaimed to you. You had a chance to rub shoulders with the Holy Spirit just in listening to me. Paul is saying. And yet, Paul goes a step further and says, but I know the Spirit is with you because you then believed and trusted the message that I preached. Such faith could only come through the Holy Spirit. How do I know this? Well, because I only shared with you Jesus Christ crucified. Which, as we've already covered, is something that does not immediately engender faith in folks. To hear about someone you've never met before who suffered and died in a horrific way in the sentence of execution on a tree shouldn't instill within you a sense that says, that's my Lord and my Savior, and because he did that, I will know that I will be saved, and I know that this one still lives. These are things that we cannot assert without God's own help to see that they are true. That's what Paul's point is here. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you would hear this and say, well, that I don't know why you're saying anything about this, Paul. Why are you just telling about some other condemned criminal? But by the help of the Holy Spirit, we say, this is the Son of God. And he is raised from the dead and continues to come to us and share with us this good news of life, mercy, grace, and love. That comes by the Spirit. And I think Paul would say this is how then we are to proclaim the same message. We too are not to try to put together great arguments of persuasion that will get people's reason engaged so that they can say, ah, yes, now I can come to God because I understand it. No, Paul would probably say to all of us, continue the same message. Preach Christ crucified. And the only way people will come to believe and trust in what you are saying is if the Holy Spirit is at work. And then you will know that the Holy Spirit is cultivating faith and belief within them. This is really good news for us who would limit our own testimony to Christ because we don't know enough, because we don't have a good enough sense of theology. We haven't studied enough. And here is Paul telling us, it doesn't matter. Don't do any. In fact, that's probably worse. Share the core of our message that the crucifixion of Christ has destroyed the power of sin and death, and that through God's work in Christ, there is now a possibility of new life. And the people who are going to say yes, amen to that message are those who have received the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we then who've heard this message and hope to believe in it may wonder, how can we be certain that we still have this Holy Spirit at work in our lives? How do we ensure that we remain spiritual people and not unspiritual? How do we not get off the track and listen to our own selves as opposed to listening to Christ? Well, I think Jesus shares some good news with us on that front today in our gospel reading. He says, listen, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus makes these unconditioned, unqualified statements about our being salt and light. This is not what we hear from Isaiah that says we have to meet certain conditions in order for the light of God to come. No, Christ tells us up front, you are light. The Holy Spirit is at work within you. God has placed God's image within you. There is light that is to be shined out in this world. Trust and believe that, and do not hide it. That is what Christ seems to indicate as our problem here. We have a calling to make the light of God known, and we have this light in us already, but we cover it up when we listen to our own minds, our own perspectives. We cover it up when we listen to other voices other than God. And Jesus is saying to us today, stop doing that. Instead, make God's light and love known in this world. That is what you are called to do. And you recognize the only way we can do that then is to continuously be connected to Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit so that this word of God may take root within us and be shared through us. And this must be a continuous process. It is not a one and done. I think Paul's final statement in our second reading today highlights that. We have the mind of Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be connected to Christ in such a way that we would think and respond, act and speak as Christ would. And indeed, the only reason we can be called the light of the world is because we are connected to the light of the world, that we are the body of Christ. Well, such connection must be maintained. Someone's mind is still at work, thinking, responding, reflecting, reacting on the things that are going on. We can't think, oh yeah, I've been around Jesus enough to know that I now know everything he would ever think or say or do about any given circumstance. No, we would have to remain connected to him. In the same way that we couldn't listen to some speaker once, twice, five, 10 times and think, yes, I know, have their mind now and know exactly what they would do in any and all circumstances. Nope, we would have to continue to go and listen to them. Well, the same thing is true here. We must continue to be connected to Christ, to experience Christ's presence in our lives, and to heed the word that God would share with us through Christ. Indeed, that's exactly what we're invited to do today, dear brothers and sisters here. We are invited to experience Christ's presence once more in this meal that we share. Here in this bread and wine, we encounter Christ's own body and blood and continue to hear the good news that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, and we are being sent forth to share that light, to enhance and preserve this world as salt, because we have experienced Christ's presence here today. Knowing the love of God revealed to us through Jesus, we are then called to celebrate and share that love in the world. We are not to hide it, but are to allow it to flow in us and through us to touch this world around us. And as we do, we will see that our neighbors are cared for, that we will do good deeds and amazing deeds even, but not as a way to get God's light to shine. We know God's light has already shined upon us and shines within us. That as Jesus says, these good deeds now give glory to God our Father. We say, yes, these are all for you, O God. And as we know these gifts ourselves, this gift of light, of salt, of love, and we celebrate and share these gifts in the world and see how they strengthen and nourish those around us as well, as we see the Holy Spirit at work cultivating faith within us and within those around us, we will be overcome with joy. And we'll have to shout out, thanks be to God. Amen.